The scripture lesson this morning is found in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 14, reading from verse 13. Hear God's word. As soon as Jesus heard the news, he left in a boat to a remote area to be alone. But the crowds heard where he was headed and followed on foot from many towns. Jesus saw the huge crowds as he stepped from the boat, and he had compassion on them and healed their sick. That evening, the disciples came to him and said, "This is a remote place, and it's already getting late. Send the crowds away so they can go to the villages and buy food for themselves." But Jesus said, "That isn't necessary. You feed them." "But we have only 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish," they answered. "Bring them here," he said. Then he told the people to sit down on the grass. Jesus took the 5 loaves and 2 fish, looked up toward heaven, and blessed them. Then, breaking the loaves into pieces, he gave the bread to the disciples, who distributed it to the people. They all ate as much as they wanted, and afterward the disciples picked up 12 baskets of leftovers. About 5,000 men. And then you could add just a little note here. How many others? You know, the women, the children, you know, 10,000 plus people, let's say, were fed that day, in addition to all the women and children. Over the last period of time before I left on holiday, I had been offered 3 messages about when we say success, how are we to understand that in Christian terms? What really is Christian success? And the first Sunday, I had this as the lesson for the Sunday, that the way up is down. I'm not going to go into detail here, but there were a number of things that I placed before you if you were here, and if you were not and you want to listen to the messages, you could get those online. The way up is down. We are to learn to be the servant of all. This is what it means to be successful in the eyes of God. It's in serving others that our lives take on their greatest meaning and significance. And that every one of us has been given spiritual gifts from God in order that we can make a difference in the world that we live in. And that difference that we make is through the church. So there you have, in a nutshell, those 3 messages. Now, I know you'd like to have the 4th one this morning in a nutshell, but I have to crack that nut open and work with it a little bit, okay? I want to put a wrap on this short series on what real success is all about by looking at the one miracle of Jesus that's found in all 4 of the Gospels. And it's the miracle of that feeding of those 10,000-plus hungry people from 5 loaves and 2 fish. Now, there's a lot of really profound meaning and points that you can gather from this story, but I just have 3 for this morning. That's a good preacher when he comes back from holiday, 3 points, but I hope that they'll resonate by the Spirit of God as being powerful for you in your lives. And the first one is simply this. Wherever there is a need for something that God wants to be done in the world, guess what? You're God's plan A. Now, what we have here were thousands of hungry people. They're in a remote place. You know, there's no Hortons nearby. They can't go, you know, and just get some fast food somewhere. There's no food. And what Jesus tells his disciples or his followers is, look after it. I mean, you guys, take care of it. You do it. It's your job. Now, you know, if we're in a situation like that in 2015 and we got this big overwhelming thing that we're being, you know, we think we're being asked by God, we're going to say, God, I can't do that. Or as a church, we can't do that. There's got to be a plan B God. Get the United Church or the Anglican Church or the Baptist Church, but not. I mean, that's just simply way too much. And you know what Jesus tells us? I have no plan B. There's only a plan A. And guess what? You're it. You know the game of tag? Just, you're it. You're my A team. Now, if you go through Matthew's gospel, you go to the very end, to the last chapter, chapter 28 and verse 19. Jesus says there, go and make disciples of all nations. What? I mean, he doesn't say, just come out on Sunday morning once a week and you're good. No, he says, go and make disciples of all the nations of the world. I mean, surely, God, there's a plan B to that. There's got to be a plan B. I mean, it's hard enough to get myself here sometimes on Sunday morning. Speaking about myself, actually, you know, I wake up on Sunday morning and I say, oh, dear, I want to sleep in this morning. And she, go, you're the minister, right? No, there's no plan B. We're the A team when it comes to bringing God's good news to the world. Now, what is that good news? After all, if we're God's A team, then we really need to know what that good news is. We can't just simply say to God, you know, let somebody else do this, let them be your A team, we're out. We don't even know what it is you want us to do. We're out, we can't be it. We're going to touch somebody else and let them take care of it. No, we're the A team right here. What's the message? What's the good news? Well, it's that through Jesus Christ, God is reclaiming his world. He's bringing it home to himself, bringing it back to himself. And God wants us, in Jesus' name, to be the emissaries, the ambassadors of his healing and his hope, of his restoration and renewal, his forgiveness, his grace, his truth, his wholeness of life, meaning for people, new identity for people. You know, there's a whole vast array of life gifts under that rubric of salvation that God wants to give people all around us to have, to know, to live within. And where is plan A? For them to hear about it. If they don't hear about it from well, they may not have the opportunity. Are you with me? They may not have that opportunity to receive and embrace the gift of love and forgiveness available in Jesus Christ. And not only that, it stretches even wider than that, because God wants to move forward his plan for the renewal of the world into every detail and dimension, every sphere of life. You know, the Presbyterians or Calvinists of old would say there's not one square inch, right, that God does not want to claim as his own, into it all. I mean, you name it. Wherever there's a need, a situation, God is committed. His will is to be there, working out his plans, his purposes, in love, in grace, and in truth. What does some of that involve? Well, wherever there's hunger or poverty or disease, where life is treated with disrespect and disinterest, whether it be at the beginning of life or the end of life, wherever there's discrimination or intolerance, where people are really under the circumstance of being weak and needy, where there can be, even as I said this in the prayer time, the situations in the North End or even right here in Waterdown, wherever it is, whatever it is, we're God's plan A for a culture of hope and life and love that's found in Jesus to come, to be made available. And God's plan is it for it to happen through you and through me, through Knox Church. So, into the story, we look at our five loaves and our two fish, and we think to ourselves, I think to myself, you know, it can't be done. And God looks at us and God says, I'm going to give you the power. All power is given in Jesus' name. I'm going to give you the power in order to see that come to pass and happen. You know, you think of it for a moment. Have you ever considered this question? Did Jesus really need to have 5 loaves and 2 fish in order to feed all those hungry people? I don't think so. So why? What's going on there? Well, I believe this, that one important thing is that Jesus wanted his own followers to see that when they were willing to bring to the table, as it were, what they could, then he would bring to the table what he had. You heard that. You with me? Jack Goodwin, you're awake. Okay. I pick on Jack because I know he's always awake, right? No. When we bring to Jesus and offer Jesus what it is we have, that's all he's waiting for. Jesus then brings what he has to give, and he empowers it. Now, I'm just speaking personally here. You know, I sit back, and I really have it in my heart to see God do some big, big things. But did you hear what I said before that? I sit back. Because I really want to see God at work in the world, but I sit back. And God is waiting so patiently because his heart and his plan is to do that something through me and through you and through this church, through Knox Church. Now, I hope you won't take me to be overly pointed about this, but let me ask you, what is it that you have right now? What is it that, you know, you've been hearing God's voice and Jesus has been speaking to you and telling you that he's got some things that he wants you to bring to the table so that he can bring to that table what he has? And you might think to yourself, like I so often do, oh God, that is so small, so inconsequential, it won't count for anything. And Jesus says, stop that. Remember the 5 loaves and 2 fish? Just bring it. You bring it. And I'll bring my power, and that will make all the difference. You see, I think one of Jesus' favorite words or phrases might be to me, to you, to us, you bring. You bring. Bring what you have, and then I'll bring what I have. Bring your time. Bring your gifts, your talents. Bring your money. Bring your prayers. You know, bring it, and I will multiply it, Jesus says. You know, I don't think God wants us to miss the miracles. That's what they may end up looking like and seeming like when we bring it, and he brings what he has to the... doesn't want us to miss any of that. In the miracle story, the same story that's found in John chapter 6 and in verse 6, Jesus asks Philip this question. Where shall we buy bread for these people to eat? And then it says in verse 6, Jesus asked Philip this only to test him, for he already had in mind what he was going to do. He says to Philip, where are we going to find bread to feed these people? He only asked it to test him, to see what he was ready to bring to the table. Jesus already knew. He was simply stretching Philip's faith. And I think God does that so often with me, with you, with us as a church. He stretches our faith. He's waiting for us to bring what we have to that table so that he can bring what he has to the table and let it make all the difference for us and for those around us. Last point. What God empowers will always have leftovers. And so often they're going to be beyond our expectation. They're going to be beyond our imagining. They will exceed it. There's a big challenge here for me and likely for you too. What do I expect in any situation that comes before me? What do I expect to happen in that situation, in my life or my family's life or the life of this community of God's people, God's A-team? What do I expect? And, you know, I'm just being honest with you here. I am who I am. I err, it seems, most of the time on the side of caution. I'm Presbyterian. I just err on that side. I'm good at harboring some hopes and some dreams, but I am your five loaves and two fish kind of pastor. I really need you. I mean, you think of it. What Presbyterian pastor worth his salt ever thinks of overflowing baskets of food after everyone has been fed? Not me, you know. I could blame the seminary. I could blame Knox College for that. I mean, I wasn't trained to expect that kind of thing. Or I could blame the presbytery of Hamilton. Well, you know, my fellow presbyters never encouraged me to think like that and to live. You know, what I really need to do is put the pause on that whole kind of victim thing, you know, and just look inward and say, it's me. I'm pastor regular, right? I'm not pastor leftovers. Now, you would help me if you'd start calling me instead of Pastor George from now on, you could call me Pastor Leftovers. You know, that just might be the push and the nudge forward that really I need to have. You know, I think at the deepest level it starts right here. Lord, use me. Use me. Use us. We just want to be instruments in your hand. Wherever there's a need, use me. Use us. Wherever I can be helpful, wherever I can be used, Lord, wherever you're leading me, I'll follow, we'll follow, we'll go. Use us. Let us be instruments in your hand. Now, there's a multitude of ways that I could share with you now about some potential ways for us to be used, because there's so much really good stuff that's going to be happening in Knox, and a lot of that will become more revealed and known as we move into September and on. I just want to talk to you now about one area, and I really am. This one excites me, but I'm pastor regular. I'm not pastor leftovers, okay? And I need your help, and I want to encourage you, and that all of us would really work together and sync with each other and with God in this. And it has to do. What anniversary is this for Knox this year? Who knows that? Quick, do your math. 1830, 2015. 185. There you go. That's an incredible number. Well, this one has to do with our 185th anniversary weekend, and the stretching Friday, the 6th of November, right through to Sunday, the 8th of November, and we're going to be calling it the Knox Music Fest. And what this is all about, it's, you know, like, rather than having an anniversary weekend that's all about us and our 185 years that we've been here in this community, we're going to have a weekend, by the grace of God, that's going to be about the community that we live in and the surrounding communities that we share life with here in Knox. A way for us to say thank you. Because what have we had but 185 years of privilege and of blessing, of a gift from God to be strategically placed here, Waterdown, Flamborough, Burlington, Dundas, Hamilton, and areas even beyond that. And what a time for us to say to the wider community, thank you for giving us this opportunity. I mean, we could have lived and died within a decade. 1840, or maybe made it 70 years and faded into the sunset. 185 years, and I believe by the grace of God, still going strong. A way of saying thank you to our community by a music fest that we're going to have here. And on the Friday evening, there's going to be a concert here at Knox. They've already been booked, and you know what? Someone willing to be an instrument in God's hand has already stepped up to the table and paid the expense of the concert. So when people come, they're not going to have to pay. Maybe we're going to encourage them to bring a gift to the food bank or something else. I don't know. But we're going to have the group Ash and Bloom here. How many have heard of them? How many were here last Sunday? I wasn't. Don't be embarrassed if you weren't. I wasn't. But Matt McKenna was leading, and Matt McKenna and a friend of his, they form the group Ash and Bloom, and they're going to be here on Friday evening, the 6th of November, in a concert for the community. And we don't want to fill this place with people just like you. We want to fill this place with people from the community. People that you say, hey, listen, there's this great group that are going to be at Knox Church on Friday night. Do you want to come along with me? Ash and Bloom, look them up in the paper. They're well known in the Hamilton area. They tour the world. They've been Australia, New Zealand, and the Maritimes. That's part of the world, you know. They've been all over, and that's on the Friday evening. And then on the Saturday afternoon, how many of you wish you were six again? Oh, there's a couple of you anyway. Well, Ben Bowen, I don't know if you heard that name. I know Susan back there knows Ben, and if you want to get a good review of Ben, a report, you see Susan. He works in one of the schools, music teacher at Guy Brown here. Burlington Christian Academy. Okay. I got the wrong. There's another fellow at Burlington Christian Academy. But he is so incredibly gifted in putting on concerts that just captivate children. He's like Burlington's Raffy. Okay, all right. And so that's going to be for families with children. And invite some families, you know, with their children to come on the Saturday afternoon. We're going to say thank you. We've been privileged to be here in this community for 185 years, and we simply want to say thank you. And then we're still working at something that's going to happen on the Sunday evening. Still needs to be confirmed, waiting on that, but it will be something that you will definitely want to make sure that you set aside and already have people that you're thinking of, that God is giving to you in your heart and your mind, that you could invite, that you could encourage to come with you. But you know, in order to put on something like this, guess what? We need everybody to bring something to the table. Their loaf, their fish. God's going to bring the thing that will make it happen, make the difference. But we need so much help, so much assistance just in the loaf, the fish. And every one of us has that. We're all called to be instruments in the hand of God. So I'm going to leave it with you. Just begin thinking about, you know, and we'll give you opportunities and ways and means that you could serve and you could bless and you could be an instrument to say thank you and an instrument of blessing in God's name to others. All right. Take this story from Matthew's Gospel. It's also in Mark, Luke, and the Gospel of John, and keep reading it over. And keep asking yourself, Lord, how are you looking to use me? What is it that you want me to bring to the table so you can bring all the power that you have in Jesus' name to the table to make the difference? Let's pray.